Welcome to Method in Madness. It is always a very thrilling experience to interview another podcast host. And that is what we are going to do today. Today's guest is Gaurav Lakhani, who is a host of the podcast Staying Indian, where he dwells into topic that resonates strongly with all non-residential Indian and person of Indian origin. And he covers various topics from financial branding, startup support to cultural insights. But more importantly, he has a rich background in building global technology products, and he seamlessly blends his expertise in digital transformation with a passion for empowering non-residential Indian community. Besides this, Gaurav's role at Riceberg Ventures underscores his dedication to fostering innovation and supporting startups aiming for global scalability. His insights into challenges and triumphs of the Indian diaspora are both engaging, enlightening, and definitely inspiring. So please help me welcome the Mr. Razzle Dazzle himself, Gaurav.
This is Method in Madness.
Welcome to Method in Madness, Gaurav. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Sabya. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. The weather is phenomenal. I hope the day the episode is out, the weather is equally phenomenal. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
When I looked you up on LinkedIn, I found your journey very inspiring. And I was just telling you just before the podcast is because you've donned several hats in your career. You've done multiple roles. You've worked in several geographical locations. Can you share with me some pivotal moments in your career that really shaped you to be who you are today in your current role?
So, Sabi, thanks, first of all, for inviting me to your podcast and to your place and cooking me a really good meal. I'm really full. So, thank you for that. Yeah, talking about my journey, I would say it has been a mix of curiosity, calculated risk, and deep desire to build something reliable. Okay. So I've worked towards it. There have been a lot of moments in my life that kind of were connecting the dots. If I look at the hindsight, I started early back in 2000s when computers were getting popular. I was very inclined towards it. And I thank my parents for helping me with that in kind of inclination, learning the programming languages and, building something and then selling it out in a small city, which is not small now, but back in 2000, small city in Indore. That's my hometown. That's where I come from. And selling that piece of software kind of was inspiring me to build something bigger. So that was a kind of a pivotal moment, I would say. And from there, it has been a great, storyline in terms of IT consulting. I did got 95 percentile in CAT. So that also helped to boost that desire. And then I thought that maybe if I do work in corporate life for a couple of years, that would help me build something more better. But then that couple of years turned into a decade, 10 years plus. And at the same time, I've been working with a lot of startups, helping them, mentoring them. That led me to be or travel around the world. Lived in 30 plus countries so far. So living in Netherlands for past 8 years and building a consulting business here, as well as engaged in a lot of different stuff. So
fantastic. And for anybody who's not still familiar what CAT means, CAT is Common Aptitude Test. That's a competitive exam that's taken for every MBA aspiring person in India. And when Gaurav said he got 95 percentile, that means that he was among the top 5% people who took that exam that year. And generally, on an average, how many? 200,000 people take that exam or more?
More than that.
Every year. So we are in company of someone who can easily be called creme de la creme from India. So just wanted to underline that one more time.
I would not say that. I'm very humble that way. I would say that.
We can say that. You've also been a podcast host. So this is actually one of the first time I'm interviewing someone who's also a podcast host. So I'm extremely excited. Your podcast is called Staying Indian, and you highlight stories of non-residential Indians and the impact they have on the NRI, non-residential Indian community. What motivated you to start this podcast?
So I think the motivation was there. The means were not. So I think what happened in past 15 years when I traveled a lot, I met a lot of people, a lot of Indians mm-hmm. in these countries. We are everywhere, right? We are the most, the largest diaspora in the world.
Absolutely.
And even in terms of numbers as well, if you look at financial remittance that we bring to India, I mean, it's always understream, but you know, it's huge. It's 100 billion plus for last couple of years. So the kind of, you know, intent was always there to connect something and do something for this community. And that got an kind of ignition when I attended the Pravasi Divas that is hosted mm-hmm. by Indian government. And that happened in my hometown in Indore. And that I met a lot of interesting people and they wanted to share their story, their side of things, you know, their real challenges in terms of investment, identity, ambition, cultural changes. They wanted to share these kind of things without a filter. And I thought that why not, you know, we should have a podcast that is dedicated for Indians who are abroad, and we are such a large population, so we should do it.
Nice. And you mentioned, I still like to hear the number from you. You have done how many episodes so far?
So I've done 35 episodes.
Wow. And how many guests all over the world?
So we have covered almost 12 plus countries now.
Nice.
And yeah, I have a good pipeline that some key episodes are coming out. And we cover a lot of different topics, you know, which are important for NRI community, community you know, like we cover how to set up businesses, entrepreneurship, we cover health, because, you know, your lifestyle changes, your food changes. So that is also important. How do you still keep that Indian kind of a health or lifestyle when you're living abroad? And how do you adapt to certain kind of lifestyle changes when you're living in other countries? So we discuss a lot of different things. And yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a learning curve for anyone new who is trying to establish themselves outside of India.
Wow. Do you have a dream guest? Somebody you would love to have in your podcast?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the Indians are doing so well across. Yeah. You talk about sports, you talk about politics. So business, you know, Sundar Pichai is one of mm-hmm. them. I really admire him. Maybe someday, yeah, I would like to have him. Yeah, Satya Nadella. So there are a lot of big names that I can share, can be part of dream list. Yeah.
Anybody from Europe?
I don't know. Can you give ideas?
No Rishi Sunak?
Yeah, Rishi Sunak. Yeah, he's definitely. But I think it would be much tougher to get Rishi Sunak on an NRI podcast.
Yeah, I understand. You've also been instrumental in facilitating NRI investments and scaling cross-border startups. What have you seen are the biggest challenges the NRIs face when investing abroad, and how can they navigate these complexities?
I think the biggest challenges are regulatory confusion. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of compliances that particularly Indians who are living abroad need to follow, both in their home country as well as in the foreign country.
Yeah.
And navigating those challenges are... This is the most common question that I get from the listeners of the podcast, and that translates into having lack of trusted partners that can help them to guide through. And over time of last couple of years, I have been able to find such trusted partners, and I'm building a kind of a platform or a website that would direct the community that I'm building to these trusted partners. At the same time, I think what the struggle is to do the due diligence and the execution. You know, NRIs are engaged in their, you know, kind of job and life. They do not have the time to do that due diligence for their investment. And I think that again needs someone who is kind of a credible advisor to do that. And that's why I am also working with Riseberg which enables Indian founders. I'm kind of in a process of building an ecosystem that would enable NRIs for investment at the same time drive Indian founders to enter into European markets.
Nice. Since you brought Riseberg, and that's my next question, that your role is a venture partner and chief marketing officer, if I correctly saw that right. What strategies do you believe are essential for Indian startups who are aiming to scale up? Because this is your world of expertise. And I'm use the word scale up internationally because I every time I'm in India, or I do see good initiatives, good ideas reaching a certain level and then not able to scale. So I would like to know from you, from the expert, what would it take from them to scale internationally?
So I think if I talk about my role with Riseberg, it's more like storytelling and structure. So it's more, since we are focused on, we are a VC fund. Since we are focused on deep tech, we are a VC fund focus on deep tech technologies in med tech, space tech, AI, ML. So we help Indian founders in securing that fund and telling their story to a bigger audience and reaching to a true global scale. I think what startups in India, and it's kind of booming as well. You know, you have Startup Mahakumbh that is happening as we speak. What they need to do is they are working on Indian problems right now, which is good. But at certain point, they also need to think about global problems. So, you know, think global, act local. That is what's happening. But when they come out of India, when they have to kind of establish themselves in markets like Europe, they have to start thinking about bigger problems that they are trying to solve. That's one thing. And I think what also happens where they are not able to scale is a legal setup or you know, IP protection, cross-border hiring. And that's where you know, I personally partner up with startups and help them to secure from all those parameters, like, you know, funding, right partners, having right mindset, as I said, IP protection, cross-border scaling.
Nice. Well, it feels very intriguing and also exciting, because I think that's international scaling is, I think, every startup's ambition. And what you correctly said, there are challenges, but there's also ways to push forward, right?
Navigate
through. And I love the quote you used, and I would like to be, I want to write it down: think global but act local. Think global, act local. I thought that's beautifully said. Thank you. I will take the startup hat from you for a second, and I put a different hat, a hat of a change manager. And this is a question I ask everybody. Let's say you get hired as a vice president of change for a large bureaucratic organization that has not changed for years. You can still see the dust beneath the files, the way of working, way of collaborating. Those, they love their you know, bureaucracy. They don't want to change. And you are hired to make change happen. What's the first change that you will signal or ask, you know, what for, you will try to implement so that people don't hate change, they don't resist change, they're open to change? What's the first change you will do?
So in fact, I'm you know, kind of, it's very coincidental that you bring this up, because I'm working in my IT consulting space with such an organization that is going through this immense change. They have to kind of modernize everything with the upgrade of technology, and they are also part of a large merger and acquisition that has happened. I will not name them, but yeah, the first change that I think should happen is on a psychological safety side, where, you know, companies are able to provide kind of a safe space for their employees to being able to be vocal about the change, and, you know, how they are experiencing that change, because that is a feedback moment that needs to happen for adoption. You know, a change's success is measured in adoption. So if the adoption rate is higher, then, you know, you have been successful in implementing that change. So a lot of times organizations fail to provide that safe space for people to express anything, whether it's good or bad, against the change, right? So, and that kind of gives you a feeling, or being a VP gives you a kind of indication mm-hmm. about whether you have been successful or not. So providing that safe space and fostering a culture where employees are encouraged to ask questions, test and share ideas without any fear is the first key thing to be established before going through that change journey.
Absolutely. And I think I wrote a blog today where I wrote, said this, that you cannot create change on debris of frustration or emotions. First, you need to clear that, give that safe space people to express, and then only you can move forward to create more change. So I fully agree with you. One last question, since the podcast is called Method in Madness, and I ask this to all my guests. What's been that moment of madness for you? Something you've done, and today you look back at it and think, whoa, what was I thinking? Thank God I did it. Not sure if I will do it again, or not sure if I will recommend someone to do that again. But man, that was madness. I see you're smiling. That means there's going to be a very juicy answer coming, friends. What's been that moment of madness for you?
I'm not able to share a lot of those things that I've done, you know.
We talk that offline.
Yeah, exactly. I've told you that I've been always a kind of a rebel kind of a person.
Yes, yeah.
And every day is a lot of decisions that I make. In the hindsight, I would not have done that. But if I have to give you a few, you know, relocating myself to an unknown country and then, you know, rediscovering everything is part of a kind of, I would say, madness. A lot of people do that, but then leaving your job and, you know, starting something of your own and venturing into something that you don't know anything about is very scary. Yeah. But yeah, you need to do what you need to do, you know, and if it's your passion and if you want to, if you dream hard enough and if you want to that bad enough, you know, you should do it. That's kind of a virtue I live by, and yeah, if that kind of makes me go against all the odds, I do yeah. that anyway.
And that's what you should do, because I always believe that there is no magic without a little madness. We need that stroke of madness sometimes to believe in ourselves, to believe in our dreams, and take that stroke of luck. Gaurav, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's been so inspiring to interview you and also to get to know you and also see that through your journey, through your madness, if I can say, you are making such a positive difference to startups, to entrepreneurs, to NRIs, to everybody who you're touching, and you're making that positive impact. So it's been an absolute honor to getting to know you. Thank
Likewise,
you.
Likewise, Sabi, thanks for inviting and really loved your hospitality, and yeah, good luck with your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was yet another episode of Method in Madness. In few weeks, I will be back with yet another episode with more methods, more madness. Until then, stay mad, because there is no magic without that little madness.